Good morning. Good to see everyone. Glad to have our family mission trip folks back. A lot of manual labor, I heard. We're glad you're here. Joe, you keep this up, you know, you're not going to get anybody to go with you. We're in the middle of a series on 1 John. Entitled, How Do You Know You're a Christian? Today we come to the text that says, you love one another. That's how you know that you're a Christian. There is a story that I found this week that illustrates the very antithesis or opposite of loving one another. In small town America, there were two shopkeepers. They had their stores directly across the street from one another. They would spend much of their day keeping track of the other's business. If one of the shopkeepers got a customer, he would look across the street and grin really big at the other one, and the other one would shake his fist at him. Well, one night, an angel appeared to one of the shopkeepers. He said, I will give you anything you ask. But whatever you receive, your competitor will get twice as much. Would you be rich? You could be very rich. But know that your competitor will get much more. Would you live a long and healthy life? You can. But your competitor will live longer and healthier. The man frowned and thought for a moment. Then he smiled. He said, here's my request. Strike me blind in one eye. Not exactly a loving kind of guy. John, in writing 1 John, communicates to those Christians that if you want to be a child of God, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to walk in the light, he will emphasize and re-emphasize in this letter, you have got to love one another. And that love for each other has got to be evident, not only to the brethren, but to the world. If you would, please stand for the reading of the Word of God from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is or where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. Thank you. Be seated. John says some very specific things about the love that we are to have for one another in these verses. First of all, he says that to love one another, it is a long-standing command. He says, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one, one that you have heard since the beginning. It is a long-standing command in at least two ways. First, it was a Jewish command that was found in Leviticus 19:18. It says, never seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So from the very outset, this is not a uniquely Christian command. It didn't originate with Jesus while he was on the earth, and And it's something that has been around for quite a while. But there's a second way in which this is a long-standing command. And that is, it's very likely that a number of people to whom John is writing are second-generation Christians. Some of these people are likely children of parents who were the first followers of Christ. And because of that, here are some people who have heard the Lord's injunction, you must love one another, their whole life. So when he says, I'm not writing to you a new command, but one that's been around for a long time, there are at least two ways in which that is true. But it is important that we emphasize that this is a command. It's a command that Christians love each other. It is a responsibility that we have toward one another. It has always been God's intention for humankind to love one another. He wants us to love each other. It's not something new or novel or radically different from what God has intended. He has always wanted us to love one another so much that He has made it a command in two covenants. Well, the question is, are we really loving one another? Do we have one another's best spiritual interests at heart? Do we have one another's best interests at heart in general? Do we really have the kind of love that God wants us to have for each other? Or is this just one of those things, one of those commands that we just kind of gloss over and say, well, yeah, I get that, but I'm baptized and I show up at worship, but do we really love one another? Now, this is a point in time where I could pause and talk about the difference between phileo and agape and how those are unique, those two different words that are in the New Testament for love that are different. But in John's writings, John uses them almost interchangeably. Even when he reinstates Peter, it's important that we see this first and foremost as a long-standing command. And we've got to ask ourselves, how are we doing? Are we really showing our love one for the other? It's also a Christ-centered command. He says, yet I'm writing to you a new command. Its truth is seen in Him and in you. There is at least one sense in which this command is new. And this could be accurately translated. On the other hand, I am writing to you about a new law. And the newness of this command is demonstrated in Jesus Himself. He says, its truth is seen in Him. It is Jesus exemplified the quality of this command. He exemplified the degree to which we should have this command. In the upper room, hours before His crucifixion, the Lord said to Him, a new command I'm giving you, that you love one another. And it was new, not because they hadn't heard that from youth, from the law. It was new because of the fact that He was the fulfillment of it. And that He was giving it a depth of meaning that it had never had before. A level that it had never reached before. He continues, He says, even as I have loved you, you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Well, Jesus says, here's the new command. You love one another even as I have loved you. To the degree that I have loved you. To the extent that I have loved you. With the same quality of love that I have for you. This is heavy stuff. We struggle daily to get our minds around just how much God loved us and how much Jesus gave up for us and what God did for us. But not only are we to continue that struggle, but we are to try to emulate that toward one another. We're to try to demonstrate that toward each other. To have that kind of love as Christ has loved us. And he says, the truth of this is seen in him, and look at this, and you. John was saying, I'm writing to some people who can, by their very lives, by how they're behaving, by what they're doing, that the truth of this command is evident in them. And I want to tell you this morning that I am speaking to some people, and I see the faces of some of my brethren, that it is evident that the love of Christ is in them. I have seen it. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. God bless you for it. It is evident in him, and it is evident in many, many of you. It's also a categorical command. John says, anyone who claims to be in the light, and we've talked about being in the light a lot in this letter, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. We know from Ignatius that there were some heretics in the early church, primarily Docetics. We've talked about them in the past too, that for love to them wasn't important at all. And I quote what he had to say about them. They said, for love, they have no care. There seems to be some Christians in the first century who thought, you know what? It's not really important to love the brethren. It's not really important to show love for each other. As long as we know God, as long as we have an intellectual understanding of God, and we're continuing to know more about God, that's all that we need. Typical of Gnosticism of the time. But John says love for one another is uncompromising. It is an unconditional. It is an unqualified. It is a categorical command. We are supposed to love one another. And he says, anyone who claims to be living in the light but hates his brother is in the darkness. It is not possible for us to live in the light and to hate our brother. You cannot say, I love God. You cannot have fellowship with God and not love your brother. One writer said it like this, disobeying the law of love makes having a relationship with God impossible. John is kind of a black and white person, isn't he? And he presents a picture of spiritual reality that says, look, you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. And if you are in the light, here are the qualities and characteristics that mark that truth, that make that self-evident. And if you are in the darkness, here are the qualities and characteristics that make that self-evident. And he says, you cannot know God or have fellowship with God or have a relationship with God and hate your brother. It's interesting here that John uses the word brother. Rather, he doesn't use fellow man or humankind, and some people have made a big deal about this. Well, we got to love the brethren. We don't have to love anybody else. I've heard that said. Remember, while we were still living in sin, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love for us. we have to have love for everyone. John is focusing specifically on what's going on in that congregation. He's not using this exclusively and saying, this only refers to brethren. You don't have to worry about loving anybody else. But that's what he's dealing with. It is a categorical command. It's something we have to do. It's also a certifying command. He says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. Lives in the light, some of your translations may say remains in the light. The verb is in the present tense. It is a continual thing. He's saying, if you love your brother, you are perpetually, constantly, continually existing in the light. Loving our brethren certifies our status as insiders. It's like a certificate of authentication that your Christianity is genuine. It's real when you have love for one another. One said, it is a certificate of your salvation. It certifies that it's real. It's the thing that makes it genuine. It is a certifying command. And he says, nothing in him, there is nothing in him to make him stumble. There's nothing to trip us up. When you have love for one another, there's nothing in your life that's going to trip you up. The word stumble here is really coming from a word that means trap. Satan doesn't have a single trap that is effective against you if you love your brothers and sisters the way God intends for you to. Satan doesn't have a single trap to trip you up if you have this kind of love, because you're walking as he walked. You're living as he lived. You're following in the footsteps of Jesus, and there's nothing to trap you. Nothing to trip you. It certifies we're in the light. And finally, this is a condemning command. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. They are living in the darkness, not living in the light of God's presence. Hatred makes us exist in the dark. And as long as we exist and live and abide in the dark, we are lost. It separates us from God. Lack of love implies lack of God. Spiritual speaking, to hate one's brother is like stumbling around blindly in the dark. One writer said this about this. Allow me to read this. About the point, it has made him blind. John could be pointing to a decisive moment where habitual hatred produces further hatred until the possibility of loving becomes more and more remote, more and more less likely. It is not God who cuts himself off from us, but that by a lack of love, we progressively isolate ourselves from the light of God's nature and the light of God's presence. Not having the love that we should have for one another is a condemning thing. And John says, if you don't have this, know this. This is a condemning command. This is not an option. How are you doing? When you look at your spiritual life, when you look at your walk, Is your love for your brothers and sisters certifying your status as an insider? Or is your lack of love for each other condemning you? Do you love one another? Is there even a hint of hatred in your heart? We don't know why people may decide to come and respond to an invitation. This morning you may realize that you need to have more love for the brethren, more love for those around you. We'll pray for you. You may realize that there's something else in your life that you need help with. We're here for you. If you want to become a Christian by being immersed in water, into Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, you can do that today and you can begin living in the light of God's presence. If you need to respond, come now as we stand.